Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This song does not elicit the horrible thoughts of Hulk Hogan.
It's childhood.
Exactly. I actually envision, like, you know, the blue, the red, white, blue ropes and the blue mats, and you see Hogan walking down the aisle,
doing the
Hogan must pose.
The air guitar part.
Yeah, like one of my favorite moments to this day. We've talked about this. Still, one of my favorite non-wrestling moments at any, like, WrestleMania or anything is Hogan coming out to save Eugene from Muhammad Hassan at WrestleMania 21. And yeah, just that one might be the last giant pop Hogan ever received. Especially when, like, okay, Hogan did a run-in to save somebody, and they dropped a giant American flag from the rafters as he was posing. Like,
oh yeah, they did.
No, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter at all.
Yeah, nobody cared. Nobody cared.
It's cool to shit all over Hulk Hogan and hate all over Hulk Hogan, and I get it. And God forbid if the man were to ever change, it wouldn't matter because no one would allow him to, because we're not allowed to change and grow in this world anymore. Not that he has. I don't know that he has. It's ruined so many cool things. It really has.
Like,
people will put out lists of, like, the greatest of all time, and if people put Hogan on there, they're just like, no, fuck that guy. Like,
yeah, it goes
still
back to...
still built the business we love.
He did, and he didn't murder anybody, you know, like Chris Benoit, who people will...
Oh my God,
fight
I know.
For.
They will fight harder for Benoit love than they will for Hogan love. It blows my mind.
And here's the thing. Hogan is... he's a douchebag. Like, he's a straight-up douchebag. Like, I don't like the guy. But you can't deny what he did or what... It's the same thing with Flair, except Flair's just not showing up at Trump rallies. So, you know, he doesn't have to fight that part off. He's just picking fights with people off perceived slights that he hears about on the internet. Like,
and Hogan at Flair's the Trump rally, like, I'm sorry, but if anyone's sole reason for hating somebody is political, then I just can't deal with it. Like, that to me was just piling on. Hogan's done far more worse things than showing up at a Trump rally.
I don't hate anybody for their political affiliations, but it definitely makes me not want to be around you.
Yeah, I get that.
Because and because fundamentally a lot of what you value tends to be very counter to what I value. So there are exceptions. That. I have conservative friends.
I don't have any value in politics, I guess. That's but you know that. That's one of my faults, maybe.
I do.
Oh yeah,
I do.
And that's
I understand.
Fine. That's fine.
I don't try to convince you to vote anymore.
I vote. I absolutely vote.
I don't try to convince you to vote your conscience anymore. No, just kidding.
I do vote my conscience. You were so mad when I voted for Gary Johnson back in 2016.
Who the fuck is Gary Johnson?
Oh, he didn't win. he was the independent that was running against Trump and Hillary Clinton in 2016. Oh,
I actually don't, like, it's funny, like, voting, that whole, like, siphoning votes thing off of your candidate of choice, it's really negligible and doesn't truly do it unless it's a legit, like, probably the most legit threat and the reason why he gets summarily, like, just wiped out by his own quote-unquote party is Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Like, he would legitimately siphon off, you know, votes from Kamala Harris and fuck with the Democratic chances or Democrats' chances. So that's neither here nor there.
Which, if I'm making a prediction, let me just piss off a lot of people right now. If I'm making a prediction, neither Democratic candidate had any chance of winning, in my opinion. That's just my own. I'm not saying I want either Democratic candidate to lose, nor am I saying I want the Republican candidate to win or anybody to win or lose. I knew Trump was going to win in 16. I knew Biden was going to win in 2020. And I feel like I've known for a while that Trump was going to win this time. I just look at the tea leaves, look at the economy, look at the gist of the people. And
we're not going to do this today. because your statement, and I'm going to say this straight up, because this is what's really hilarious when I like get into it with people, is the shit that people define as the economy, and the economy is terrible, is not controlled by a party or the president of the United States.
I'm not saying it is, but the people think it is, and that's what matters.
I'm not done. Yeah, people are stupid. And when you try to tell them what things are, they're like, no, I pay all this money for this stuff. It's way more expensive now. Which, by the way, folks, it's not really. It's actually about the same what you paid before. You just liked the other guy better, so you're shouting louder. But anyway, don't muddy the water with facts. It just scares people. Confuses people.
Which is what I was doing, and you got mad at it. My whole thing is, I agree with you. People are wrong. Go ahead.
We're fighting on the show.
We're not fighting.
What I was taking umbrage with is the idea of people are like, the economy, like this big nebulous thing that people seem to think that the presidency has some modicum of control over when they really don't, particularly when the president is of one party, half of Congress is of another, and any legislation he would want to pass that would truly impact the economy gets stopped. So, and you have a Supreme Court that is decidedly not going to do anything in his favor. So, I don't know, when two-thirds of the government are really controlled by the party that's trying to regain the presidency, it doesn't seem like the president's the problem. But that's not what we're here to talk. Let's talk about how I bought tickets to an AEW show or something instead, like, because I can't think about what's going to happen when the Republicans start trying to enact Project 2025, because they're going to, and your democracy is done forever. Like, what you call the democracy will be done if they get to do what they want to do. But that's okay, because you'll hate black people freely, little racist Republican people.
Well, that went back to 2016. That whole freely hating people and hating things, I posted it. I need to go back fucking 8 years and find the post on Facebook, because when it became apparent that night that Trump was winning the election, like, I posted, I was like, it's never going to be the same again. And it had nothing to do with who was winning or losing the election. That election made it okay for people to just hate. And it really threw out, because before the 2016 election, people would disagree on politics and be totally cool with each other. And then the 2016 election happens, and people were like, no, you're this party, fuck you, I'm this party, fuck me, and I hate it. And that turned me off more to politics than anything ever in my life.
I think what's really interesting about, because you're right, but what really, you got to look at the guy and what the guy kind of gave the worst of that winning party, the freedom to feel that they can do. Because do I believe that every like Republican or conservative is racist or terrible? No, of course not. What I do find very problematic and troubling is the like refusal of people within that party, and it's, you know, it's just gradually gotten worse over the last 8 years, to recognize something as bad, but to be so dedicated to this idea that, like, this part, like, we have to get behind this example of my party, like, that it's the desire to win is, like, and it's happened on the other side too, because
of course
I would have voted for Biden no matter what, because again, I look at the plan that's being enacted, that they want to enact. Like, if you haven't read this Project 2025 thing, they're going to take away your porn. Like, that alone should really turn off half of Alabama, you would think. Like, your porn, they're taking away your porn, man. Like, all of it. No more internet porn. That's what the internet was made for. And Project 2025 is going to take it away. And a lot of other stuff. Like, it's very much about loyalty to one dude, whoever that may be like the notion and the myth of your government having checks and balances goes away if this Project 2025 thing happens, because it really is about making the president all powerful, like being able to just appoint anybody and having carte blanche over the government, which is not how the government was designed to work.
No.
Even 200-300 years ago, like, we're coming up on 300 years now. Like, it's just, even in its imperfection, that wasn't the idea. And if you think that George Washington would be like, this is a great idea, kids, no, he really, like, none of them would. But anyway, that's our political talk for the day. I hope you didn't record that.
Oh, dude, I've been recording for 10 minutes. I started with Hulk Hogan's theme song. They got all of it, but here's the thing. It doesn't fucking matter. Or, like, it matters, but it doesn't matter, right? At the end of the day, I don't care about, like, you're right. Like, it's, to me, the president, like, the economy isn't really dependent upon who the president is to me. It's largely, like you said, you could blame it on any party. You could blame it on anything, and that's what people are going to do to support what they like. So I guess what I should have said was I knew that such and such was going to get elected because of the perception of the economy, because that's really what it is, right? It's all perception, just like wrestling. It's all perception. What I was going to get into was that, you know, this is also the kind of thing that we did on the soccer games after a goal. Turn that volume up. I also had this one. This is a good one. Kids actually loved when that was the goal song. Loved it when that was the goal song.
Yeah,
you had to get pretty deep into the game for that.
I have the Chicago Blackhawks horn. That's all I got.
I use the same horn for all of them. I had to make all of those. And,
oh, I completely stole mine.
Well, I stole the horn. I didn't actually find a horn and buzz it and record it. Like, I stole it off of YouTube. Not YouTube.
No, I know what you did. I know what you did. I didn't combine anything. I was like, Chicago Blackhawks goal.
Right.
Steal. Come get me, feds.
You actually, I wish your laptop really had a steal button. That would make it even better. If your laptop really had a steel button. It's not like I was live.
It was called Napster.
It's not like I was live in an arena, held up a microphone and went. Like, that did not happen.
Well, if you did.
I've never got to see that live. In my entire life. Never got to see the Adam Cole Bebe live. I went to Takeover. I went to Takeover Phoenix. And Miranda laughed at me. She was there too. Because, because Roddy Strong and Kyle O'Reilly had a match, and they lost the NXT Tag Team Championships in the opener of the show. Adam Cole didn't come out until the post-main event brawl, because they used it to set up that Super Bowl halftime six-man tag they did, the halftime heat that year, with NXT in the Performance Center, which ended up basically giving them the idea for what they did during COVID. And he just came out for a fight. She was laughing at me because I didn't get to do the thing. Then, fast forward to the first time AEW comes out here in 2023. And Adam Cole was advertised and whatever. I mean, and he did a backstage segment. And never walked out.
It's like when we went to Raw during the Michaels Hogan SummerSlam build.
Uh-huh. And it was on video.
And we got the Shawn Michaels skit and no uh-huh. Hogan at all.
Very upsetting. Very upsetting. Very upsetting. Back in the day. And we lost Patrick O'Dowd. Patrick O'Dowd dropped off the face of the earth. There is no Patrick O'Dowd. So now I can tell you who you need to go vote for. No, I'm just kidding. I really do hate the election, and I really do hate politics. And I hope that Patrick O'Dowd decides to rejoin me here at some point in the show, because I like Patrick O'Dowd, and I miss Patrick O'Dowd, and I want to talk to Patrick O'Dowd about pro wrestling. His computer just shut itself down. So here's my dilemma now to you, loyal listener. Do I keep talking while Patrick O'Dowd fixes his computer, or do I pause the recording and come back when Patrick O'Dowd is done? So here's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to go to the internet, right? And I'm going to pull up a professional wrestling website. And I use that term professional loosely, right? And I'm going to see what I can pull up in terms of wrestling news. God, I picked the wrong website. Oh, I got a call coming in from the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. He's live from Amherst or from Southampton, wherever the fuck you're at. South Hadley, Massachusetts, and Patrick O'Dowd is coming in. He's given me
can't hear you, dude.
He's given me some indicators that he can't hear me. That's on your end there, bud, because I can hear me. The voice meter can hear me, and the fact that you can't hear me, that's on you. Let me text you. That's on you. There we go. So he just got the text message from me, and he'll look down and see it in here a second, and we'll find out what's going on. So while Patrick O'Dowd fixes his issues with the internet, he keeps signaling to me. I don't think he knows I'm still recording. So he'll figure that out shortly. Now he can hear me. So I never stopped, just so you know. I just kept on going.
That's fair. I don't know. This has happened before when we've done a show where, like, for some asinine reason.
Yeah, it's the internet, dude. You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
Well, no, it was like my whole laptop just went. Wasn't even the internet. Like, I still had connection. Like, my screen went blank. The camera shut off. I lost everything. And then
I was trying to pull up like a wrestling news article and make fun of it. Like, I literally detailed the whole dilemma. Like, do I keep going without you until you get back on, or do I do something else? And I just kept going.
Myself,
and then you called
myself and Lionel Richie are back, so it's fine.
And I miss Lionel. I missed you
Hello.
As well. It is you
Me
that we. It is you.
For.
It is you I was looking for. That's a rare singing appearance by the wrestling girls, Patrick O'Dowd. I haven't said it on these airwaves in a long time, but I have said on these airwaves, Patrick O'Dowd has a very underrated vocal talent. He really, really does, especially if it's Queen at karaoke night. But Patrick O'Dowd has.
Yeah, you finally saw it. I love telling the story of you being like, okay, I get it now.
Oh, dude, seeing you in action there, what I think they need to do with karaoke is they need to have a mix of karaoke, or there needs to be like a lip-syncing version of karaoke, and I'm sure there is, and I'm sure it's very popular sure. in certain circles. For those of us who can't sing but we can perform, which I would put myself in that category, so that's where I would put myself in. Patrick O'Dowd, breaking news over the weekend, Sammy Guevara returned with a new look at the ROH tapings. I know you're excited, right? You care.
It changed my life.
And this wrestling website that reported this is already calling them the AEW ROH tapings, because Tony Khan said in one press conference he might need to change the name to AEW ROH so more people will watch it. These people are idiots.
No. That won't fix it, Tony.
Of course not.
It just won't fix it.
He then said because AEW is the biggest wrestling company or the greatest wrestling promotion in the world, something that was like he can't say, like, I think he said because they're the most popular wrestling company in the world or something like that.
Going to Springfield, Massachusetts in September?
I mean, WWE does that. They recently went to Worcester. Like, it's okay.
No, it's funny. Like, by the way, good seats still available.
Oh, I'm sure.
I know they're on TV, But it's funny, as I was going through the tier of seat levels, and I'm like, I'm not spending $100.
No, God, no.
I'm not spending $60 to sit here. When $30 sounds fine, this section works for me. MassMutual Center is not exactly that big. In hell, if they get the type of crowd I think they get, I might get to move anyway.
I don't know if they move people. I don't know. I'm trying to see if I can find the WrestleTix report of your show you're going to. It may not even be up there yet. Who knows?
Well, but I mean, pre-sale was the 24th or something, and then tickets officially went on sale on the 26th. It's only the 30th. I haven't looked to see, but I had no trouble, you know, getting any tickets at all.
Of course not.
For that show. It's not like I was trying to get concert tickets. So,
meanwhile, Monday Night Raw, over 13,000 people in attendance. Just want to point that out. AEW All Out, yeah, currently at 5,300 in Chicago. What happened to them in
Chicago?
Dude, Chicago for them has not been nearly as strong. Now, All Out being 2 weeks after All In is just stupid. Like, I get why.
Yeah, their calendar is all sorts of messed up. The WWE's calendar feels messed up too. And maybe it's just because I'm busy right now during the summer. But SummerSlam's what, this weekend?
SummerSlam is this weekend. We will make some picks later in the show.
Will we? Because Drew McIntyre is wrestling CM Punk. I know that.
Yeah. You're right.
Damian Priest is wrestling
Gunther.
That's right, Gunther, because Gunther's going to win that match.
Probably.
There you go. Yeah. There's one pick for you. But I'm actually going to go and Google the card, because I haven't kept track of shit.
Well, Google the card later. So here's what...
Well, I mean, I could do that while we do the other parts of the show, man.
Now that you have me on WrestleTix, I'm looking at things. Someone posted, retweeted the WrestleTix report on OVW tickets. The OVW tour is fascinating to me. Because I can't find any results of these shows, which leads me to believe they keep canceling all of them. They had one scheduled here in Phoenix, July 20th, I believe was the date. Canceled it because no one bought any tickets to it. They currently have an event in Pikeville, Kentucky, which is, you know, in their neck of the woods. They have a 6,000-seat arena, right? It's currently set up for 6,508 people.
So 35 tickets sold.
They've sold 468 tickets to this event.
Oh.
But because that's such a small number in comparison to the size of the arena, when you look at the seat map, it just looks like they haven't sold shit. And it's just, I don't know why they're doing this. And like I said, I can't find any results. Somebody might find them and send them to me and
who has OVW now? Like
Al Snow.
Oh.
They're also running Warren, Ohio, a 1,300 seat venue, or a 1,900 seat venue. That has also sold 576 seats. That 500 range seems to be about where they settle for these shows. And that show's 18 days away. Even if their tickets doubled, that would be 1,900. That'd be great, but it'd be half the venue. And I get, like, they're redoing their building, so that's kind of part of the reason why they're doing this tour. But, like, I know the one here locally in Phoenix got canceled. That was supposed to be last month. I don't know about the rest of the tour. I couldn't really find a lot of information on it, simply because I don't think anyone cares to report on it. And that's, you know, no offense to Al Snow or OVW. That's just what I'm seeing. I could be totally wrong, but it's just like sad when your local indie that you may or may not run can perform the same as national touring. I use that in quotes after a Netflix special OVW, like what's going on.
Right.
But WrestleTix, by the way, Twitter at WrestleTix, TIX, they have their own Patreon. I thought about subscribing to the Patreon just because I'm fascinated by ticket sales. Great resource. Tony Khan even referenced it once, so maybe I should stop looking at it. who knows? But where are we at time-wise? All right, we're 22 minutes into the program. I'm going to run a commercial. We're going to come back because I did have this article that I sent Patrick O'Dowd on Twitter. He may or may not have seen it yet, that I really want to talk about because I'm somewhat fascinated by the comments that were made by this individual. About Sting, not in the post positive light, And then who he did shed in a positive light. Now, it's not to shit on anybody, our conversation or anything, but I'm fascinated by it and want to talk about it. But first, go to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot, pick up a shirt, and listen to this commercial.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Acknowledge me.
All right, Patrick O'Dowd, without thinking, right now, SummerSlam this weekend, Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa calling himself the new tribal chief, already put Paul Heyman through a ringside table. Does Roman Reigns return at SummerSlam?
No.
All right. There we go. Patrick O'Dowd says no. You are going against the common narrative that people have out there, but I think you might be right. So we shall see. So here is what I want to talk about. I'm assuming by now Patrick O'Dowd has found the article that I sent him and can take a look
at
it.
No, I read it. I read it when you sent it to me.
Good. So headline, it's a sports keto, which is basically shit on a website. But
which I had questions when you sent me a sports keto article.
It was an interview.
I was like,
Their news is shit. And basically ringside news level stuff or Lyle Kilbane right. level stuff, where the headline doesn't even meet the article. But this was a quote from somebody, and I'd rather talk about quotes because it comes from the source
you
at least.
Dissect that, yeah.
And so the headline says, in quotes, "Did Sting put over anybody? ? An ex-AEW star singles out 53-year-old WWE legend for being unselfish in the business." Now, this is crazy. First of all, this headline, I just realized. Ex-AEW star singles out 53-year-old WWE legend. Not even referring in the headline to the fact that this person currently wrestles for AEW for being unselfish in the business. Like, I didn't even realize the clickbaity nature of this here headline. Good for you, SportsKita, because it's probably been read by, it probably has 1.2 million views on this fucking article. Such is the state of the internet. So this is about Jack Swagger, Jake Hager, and talking about Sting and talking about Chris Jericho. That's the 53-year-old WWE legend in question here. Speaking on the No Shave Man Cave, which I think is awesome. I need to find that and check it out. Here's what old Jack Swagger had to say about big names in the business who weren't the type to put over talent. Let me read you the quote. "Here's the thing I like about it. Did you see Triple H putting over any new guys? Did you see Undertaker putting over any new guys? Did you see any top guys who have been in the business for as long as Jericho putting over anybody? Did Sting put over anybody? No. Jericho's trying to build. He understands it. It drives me crazy that nobody talks about this. He's putting over these guys. He's putting the stamp on them. Then he goes and says some more. He brought up how Jericho played a part in Orange Cassidy becoming a star. Did he make Orange Cassidy hot? I mean, come on. I'm biased, but I think the fact that he is so unselfish with building this company, forget about it. And I thought there was one more piece of the quote, but I don't think there is. So that is what he had to say about Sting versus the likes of Triple H. I'm sorry, about Jericho versus the likes of Triple H, Undertaker, so-and-so. And I just found this fascinating that he has this thought, these ideas. And I don't... When you hear those quotes, Patrick O'Dowd, and when you see it, and I know you read it earlier when I sent it, what did you think of Mr. Hager's perspective? Because you might come across my same perspective, you might not.
My initial reaction was Darby Allin says hi. And not the...
But Sting never put Darby over in the sense that he never laid down for him. But I get it, and I agree with you.
So that's... And I guess that's where... That's where I'm stuck, is what is putting someone right. over mean, that you have to like look at the lights for them to be put over. And we have talked, the other thing that came to mind was that we have talked at length over the course of the last couple of years, both privately and on these internet airwaves, that how many people have really gone on to do what after Jericho has kind of put them over outside of Orange Cassidy. So Orange Cassidy, I'll concede. But
well,
like,
that's interesting in and of itself. And I will go so far as to say that's not on Chris Jericho. Because here's the thing about Chris Jericho and AEW. Here's the thing about AEW. Everybody talks about they tell stories, they don't tell stories, whatever, right? Tony Khan doesn't tell stories. All the stories that you see in AEW are largely developed by the talent themselves. Chris Jericho, when he put over Action Andretti, who was just a random local talent who came in and beat Jericho in a random match on Dynamite, Jericho's idea. Putting over Orange Cassidy, Jericho asked for that. Putting over Ricky Starks, Jericho asked for that. MJF was already over before he worked with Jericho. All the people that have been in Jericho's stables, Jericho wanted to have in his stables. The problem is Tony Khan lets him do it because it's what Jericho wants. But then when it's over, it wasn't Tony Khan's idea to begin with. So he doesn't have a plan for any of these people.
So as it's the what's next.
It is what you're getting. And that's not Jericho's fault. Jericho can't work with these people for 7 years and also be part of the what's next. But yeah, almost everybody who's been associated with Jericho has gone down the toilet after being associated with Jericho because the company never had ideas for these people to begin with, except Ricky right. Starks. And even Ricky has been hot and cold, but some of that's because he's buds with Cody Rhodes. He was at the Royal Rumble that Tony Khan told everybody not to watch, and he's probably leaving when his deal's up anyway. So
right.
that's why he's not on television.
So there's that. I guess I disagree. Like the Triple H doesn't put anybody over. That's an IWC narrative that has existed for as long as Triple H has been a wrestler.
Right.
Like the man is, I can't remember what his overall record is, but the WrestleMania record alone speaks for itself.
It sure does.
People he lost to not putting people over, at the biggest stage in the business. The Undertaker, who, is the was the stalwart of the WWE and was the ultimate in special attraction, was one a guy who was not going to lose often anyway, but in the twilight of his career, again we'll go back to Mania, but he loses at Mania to Brock. And then he starts losing to all kinds of people. He was one of the people who helped elevate Roman Reigns because he looked at the lights for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, which then led to "This is my yard now," Roman Reigns. So I guess if you want to be hyperbolic and back your boy, which is, you know, what it sounds like he's doing, but all of those guys, and Sting's time in AEW was never going to be one where he was going to be passing a torch to anybody other than the guy he quoted, like, he put over, in my opinion, by teaming with him. Like, that was Sting's job, and I don't even remember, like, he never lost in AEW?
Never lost a single match in AEW.
So, but he wrestled, like, what, 15? I don't even know. Like, I'm being silly, but, like, it was his retirement tour, and they let him go. And he let him go out how he wanted to go out. And, you know, I think back to his time in TNA. I look at his time in WCW before he became Crow Sting, and he was jobbing the guys, he was putting dudes over, like, I don't know, like, those legacies are just as legit as Chris Jericho's. And I'm sorry if they didn't put somebody over in the last 3 years the way you think they should have. Although, like I said, it was Sting in particular. Like, I think Darby Allin probably gets over without Sting. But you can't deny that Sting saw something in that guy, wanted to work with that guy to build that guy. And that's right. Putting someone over. Like, that's every bit as putting someone over as looking at the lights and losing to them, which goes back to that fundamental idea of do wins and losses matter? And as we like to say, wins and losses don't matter until they do.
Exactly. And that's true.
That really even comes down to putting a guy over, because a dude can lose, still be put over.
He absolutely can. So here's part of the problem. Number one, yeah, Sting never didn't put anybody on AEW. That wasn't Sting's thing. Tony Khan even said it. Like, when Sting came in, Tony Khan decided Sting wasn't going to lose a single match during his run through AEW. Sting was literally just in to do this retirement tour for Tony Khan.
Right.
Sting would have lost to anybody had they asked him to. Sting got criticized throughout his career for not speaking on the WrestleMania 21 situation where he lost to Triple H. Like, most people blame that on Sting for not, you know, saying, no, I should win this match. Sting should have won that match. Sting should have beat Triple H at WrestleMania 21. Like, I will stand by that for a very, very long time. Okay, so Jack Swagger's talking about Triple H, and Jack Swagger's talking about Sting. Jack Swagger was very prevalent at a time that overlapped with Triple H. Triple H never put over Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger was wrestling in AEW at a time when there was Sting and probably lost to Sting at some point and got his ass kicked by Sting at some point. Sting never put over Jack Swagger. Like, I think there's some of that too, because while I think Jack Swagger gets it, and I don't think Jack Swagger looks back on the business and thinks he should have been a bigger star than he was or anything like that, but like,
right.
No, these people didn't put him over. I look at the WrestleMania we went to, WrestleMania 26. Sting beat Sheamus. Okay, Sheamus was a guy on the rise. He eventually became world champion, and you know, eventually became a four-time world champion. But like, Triple H didn't need to beat Sheamus. Sheamus could have won that match, and Triple H would have been fine. It didn't cause anything, right? It didn't. Triple H didn't need to beat Sheamus. Sheamus needed that win more than he did. So you could criticize Triple H for that if you want to. Of course, there's the whole Booker T situation with Triple H, where Booker T should have beat Triple H at WrestleMania 19, which I agree with. But here's the bigger thing for me. When you get into the stratosphere of and Undertaker, again, Undertaker overlapped with Jack Swagger plenty and didn't put him over. When you get to the stratosphere of Triple H, Undertaker, Sting, all of that, Hogan at this point, if he were to wrestle again, The Rock, now Roman Reigns is there, John Cena is there, although he's put plenty of people over. They're not just there to put people over. Like, to his last day, The Undertaker was a draw. To his last day, Triple H was a draw. The moment he comes back, Brock Lesnar will be a draw. Sting was a huge draw, especially for AEW at that point. Like, those guys were there for more than just putting other people over. Even to their last days, they were there for more than putting people over. And no offense to the legendary career of Chris Jericho, He's not Triple H. He's not The Undertaker. He's not Sting. He's not Brock Lesnar. He's not even Roman Reigns or any of those talents. Like, Jericho is a notch or two below all of them, in my opinion. So Chris Jericho putting somebody over is not the equivalent of The Undertaker putting somebody over, in my opinion. It's just not, it's not comparable at all. It's not a fair comparison to make. Jericho, you get less of a rub when Jericho puts you over. It's less of a big deal if Jericho loses than all those other guys losing. I'm sorry, but that's just the way I see it. And so I just don't think you can equate those. I'm trying to think of who you can equate Jericho to, but it ain't any of those guys, in my opinion.
Edge?
Yeah, Edge is a good one. I was thinking of Orton. I think Orton might be above Jericho, though.
But I think Orton's above Jericho. I think Orton...
I think Edge is above Jericho.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know about that. I think...
I'm also biased towards Edge. And I have to acknowledge right. that.
I would have them on a level. Like, they literally kind of followed the same trajectory and path throughout the WWE. Like, they're... Was it WrestleMania? Which WrestleMania was they fought over Trish? Was that 18, 19?
Was it 20 was when Christian and Jericho fought over Trish Stratus.
Oh, it was Christian and Jericho. Yeah. Sorry, my bad.
It's okay.
So that hurt my argument.
but I'm sure Jericho and Edge feuded. Like, I'm positive.
Absolutely. So I would have.
Fuck, Patrick. We were there at WrestleMania 26 when they wrestled for the world title. So, yeah, they feuded.
I forget that because Bryan Danielson was too busy losing in like a minute.
He waved to the crowd at WrestleMania 26.
He did.
Yeah, he didn't lose anything. NXT hadn't even happened yet at WrestleMania 26. Like, that was the cast of NXT.
I'm getting everybody to the crowd. I'm getting all my years confused.
Punk lost way too fast at WrestleMania 26. To Rey Mysterio.
Maybe that's what it is.
He lost in like less than 5 minutes or whatever.
I haven't been drinking today, and so that's the problem.
that can be it. That can be it. So I guess I can go with Edge, which means Christian is a step below those guys, even though I kind of think Christian is the same level as Jericho. Maybe they're all in the same tier. It's just that Edge is at the top end of that tier, and Christian's at the low end of that tier, and Jericho's at the middle for me. But then I'm just tiering within a tier, which is stupid. So
it's one of those things. I'm sitting here like as I try to figure out where Jericho fits.
Right.
Like, it's not like Jericho didn't have some pretty iconic moments in the annals of the history of the WWE. Both of his first two debuts, in the WWE, the famous countdown, and then his follow up return. And I can't remember what it was. I don't even remember who was running along when he sticks his arm out and like clotheslines him.
Right, I remember that.
See the jacket. I think that was return. That was his first return.
That was one of them. I don't know if it was his first, but that was one company. Of them.
But he had a lot. I mean, you know, he was in a main event of WrestleMania. Like he was a big deal. But to your point, he wasn't. You know, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, or in my opinion, even Randy Orton or John Cena, level of a big deal.
I'll go too far. You ready for me to go too far? The distance between Jack Swagger and Chris Jericho is shorter than the distance between Chris Jericho and The Undertaker. Like, Jack Swagger is closer to being a Chris Jericho level star than Chris Jericho is to being an Undertaker level star. In my opinion. And I like Chris Jericho. But that's just how far out there Undertaker is in terms of
stardom. Chris Jericho, to you, and I would argue to me, doesn't transcend the business.
He as a star. He transcends the... It's weird. He's like a... He transcends the... Everything he does is at a level below the top level. Including his transcending the business. Like, he's a rock star. But he's not a top-level rock star, but he's still a rock star. He's getting ready to do his sixth cruise, which is really just him fleecing the wrestling business, but people love it, and they have a lot of fun, and I've talked to people who've been on him, and they have a blast. And hell, I'd like to go on one someday myself. I think it'd be fun. But he's made himself a great career, a legendary career, but he's like the bottom level of legends.
Right.
Because he's he is a legend.
This is where we go a lot, and this I think pisses off listeners of some listeners of this program. When we ask the question, if we go to Joe Johnson on the street and say, you know, I won't do the Mount Rushmore thing, but if you were to name, you know, icons of professional wrestling. They're going to say Hogan. They're going to know John Cena. They're going to know The Rock. They're probably not going to rattle off Triple H right away. They might say Flair. But that depends on the person, honestly.
Right.
Like when you really look at it. And Ric Flair's in this interesting case study of he's found this popularity amongst like just sort of tangentially being connected to like athletes doing like,
yep, the hip hop community,
Space Mountain stuff, yeah, and like really propping him up. Like, and I love Ric Flair. Don't let anybody say I don't love Ric Flair. People probably wouldn't necessarily name Sting, to be honest. But they would name him
before they name Chris Jericho.
Right, Randy Savage, you get named.
Oh yeah, he's pop culture icon too, though, Randy Savage.
Like. But that's the thing is, even because you were talking about like tiers of outside the business, like people knew Randy Savage as an actor outside of the business, whether it be in Spider-Man or his voice work. Like his voice work was so distinctive.
The Slim Jim commercials, right? The Slim Jim commercials, too.
And the Snap It To Slim Jim. Diamond Dallas Page? Would we put him on the same? Would we put him in a...
I think that's very comparable to Chris Jericho. I think that's comparable to Chris Jericho. I think he's in that tier. That might piss off some of the Jericho fans, that DDP. I will argue that Jericho had a bigger WWF/WWE career than Ric Flair did. Like, you could argue that. Shawn Michaels far ahead of Chris Jericho on your experiment. I think Roman Reigns is ahead of Chris Jericho solely because of this run that he just went on. Just because of this run that he went on. When all said and done, Cody Rhodes is going to be ahead of Chris Jericho. Like, that's... And Sting's interesting, too, because Jericho had a better WWE career than Sting did. Here's what's very interesting to me about Chris Jericho. And maybe I'll phrase this as a question. And you could blow up my theory by giving a different answer, and that's totally fine. What is Chris Jericho's most memorable moment in his WWF, WWE career?
For me personally, or are you just saying?
Just what do you think? What do you think? Whether it's you personally, what do you think is Chris Jericho's most memorable moment?
Verbally sparring toe to toe with The Rock, the famous, like his debut.
His debut. Exactly. Like the memories of Chris Jericho peaked on day one. For so many people, that is probably, and I think Jericho would argue against this, probably the greatest moment of his career. Is when he made his debut.
His book that he wrote for the WWE with his ghostwriter would agree with you.
Yeah, but how long ago did he write that book? Like, you know, like what year did that book?
Back when he was still working for the WWE, and right now he's the company guy. And we both know whenever he's done with whatever he's doing here, at some point when he gets invited to come back and be inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame, he's gonna be there.
Of course he is. And not only that. When WWE ultimately buys the scraps of AEW, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road, Jericho's going to be the best fucking part of the documentary.
Well, he's going to be the host of the documentary.
He will actually say good things about AEW in the documentary. I guarantee you, he will. He will also say lots of bad things about AEW in the documentary, and he will be a great part of that documentary. But it's just that's the thing. Like, I can't think of many other legendary performers who the pinnacle of their WWE career was their debut.
Right.
And that was one of the greatest debuts, probably the best debut in the history of the wrestling business.
It's one of the things that I show people when they're like, why do you get excited about wrestling? I was like, because of shit like this. That and The Rock's return as the host of WrestleMania. Those two videos.
Yeah.
Like, I don't show people matches, which I think is why I'm different than the idea.
You show them moments.
When I show them things that I'm like, these are the things that influence me. It's, you know, a cobra biting Randy Savage's arm. It's It's fucking Jake Roberts walking around blind. It's Marty getting kicked through a barbershop window. It's Chris Jericho showing up on Monday Night Raw as the countdown to the quote-unquote new millennium happens.
Yeah.
And those are great things, too. And it's not to say that Chris Jericho could... Hell, what's your favorite... What's your most memorable thing from Chris Jericho in WCW?
Oh, his list.
Yeah.
Of all the Dean Malenko holds.
Armbar. Yeah.
Which is hilarious. That's his most memorable thing in WCW. And the second most memorable thing about him in WWE...
You just made the list!
...is a fucking list. So two of his three most memorable things...
You just made the list!
...are lists.
But, you know, and even, like, his whole Ralphus thing...
Yeah.
Like, it's the stuff he does outside the ring that made him huge. But I don't know. I don't know where I'm going here. I just...
No, you're like, exactly right. Like,
I don't have a Chris Jericho match that changed my life.
No. The only Chris Jericho... Honestly, my favorite Chris Jericho match is when he beat Triple H for the world title to open up Raw, and it immediately got reversed the very next segment. Like,
right.
And that was early in Jericho's career, but it showed that he could be a star for them. But it just... And he's a, what? 11-time world champion or something?
He did a Shawn Michaels match, right?
Yeah. At WrestleMania, and then they had a feud later on. Yeah, right. Jericho had a whole show. Brilliant.
It's no Michaels angle, but it's
that's where man. Like they it was babyface match, and then they embraced after, and Jericho low blowed him after the WrestleMania match. That was 19, right. Which is just the greatest five match stretch of any show ever. But again, like Jericho's a legend. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. Like no one can doubt any of that. He'll probably go into an AEW Hall of Fame because they'll make one. Before he goes into a WWF Hall of Fame. But he will go in WWE Hall of Fame at some point in his career, as he should, because he is that so much of a legendary performer. But to equate him to Sting, which is really what this whole article was about, is just asinine to me. And Hager is not a fair person to make this comparison anyway, because he worked directly with Jericho for an extended period of time. Probably traveled with him, talked with him backstage, tossed around ideas, went out and hung out with him, and probably didn't do any of that with Sting. So Hager's biased. And if I spent all that time with Chris Jericho, I probably would be too. So I get it. But it's just hard. Sometimes you got to consider the source as well, not to discredit Jake Hager, but I don't know that you're the best one to really talk about this because of the relationship and the time that you've spent with Chris Jericho. You didn't spend that with Triple H, The Undertaker, or anybody else.
On a side note, as I sit here and go through the WrestleMania 19 card, when you complain about The Undertaker not putting people over, and then you look and you see that he won a handicap match against The Big Show and A-Train, I think I'm okay with him not putting those guys over.
Oh, it was supposed to be a tag team match with Nathan Jones as his partner, but Nathan Jones wasn't good enough, And the greatest thing of Nathan Jones' career is being in the Furiosa movie. So it's all good. But yeah, Nathan Jones just never panned out. They wanted him to. That's why they paired him with The Undertaker. But that shows you how bad you are at the wrestling if they decide to take you out of a tag team match with The Undertaker and just let him win a handicap match instead. It's WrestleMania, but it was the second match of WrestleMania. You entered right after Kid Rock performed. It's not a big deal. But it is so interesting because we bring up so many of those beloved names. Right now, if Chris Jericho were to return to WWE or Brock Lesnar were to return to WWE, Brock gets the bigger pop.
Right.
And you could say Jericho's a better wrestler than Brock. I would disagree. But and even Brock's tangential thing was to go be the UFC World Heavyweight Champion. Jericho's tangential thing is to play clubs in a rock band. Both of these things are amazing. Both of these things are a bigger entertainment accomplishment than most of us listening and the two of us on the show right now. But Brock dwarfs Jericho's in terms of accomplishments. And that influences it well. People know Brock Lesnar for multiple reasons. Brock Lesnar is probably more recognizable than Chris Jericho. So many people are going to scoff at that notion, but I believe it to be true. And right. and that's just me. So here we go. Sorry, Jake Hager. Sorry, Chris Jericho. But really, we're not sorry for anything.
You just made the list.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, Patrick O'Dowd, you brought it up. It is SummerSlam. It is this weekend. So we get to hear Patrick O'Dowd's highly educated picks about the SummerSlam card.
Dude, I'm not even going to be paying attention this weekend. You know what I'm doing this weekend?
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to see Metallica this weekend. I am seeing them on Friday and Sunday of this week.
They're still doing Friday that?
Night. Yeah, that tour is still going on. It's awesome, man.
Nice.
And so and you're going to Friday both? Night. Friday night, it's I keep forgetting there's six band or there's two openers each night.
Each night, different openers. Yeah.
Yeah, different openers. I keep forgetting the name.
Where's it at? Is it at Gillette?
Like Gillette. I'm sitting in fucking nosebleeds and I don't even care. I spent $200 for two nights of concert.
Which is funny. I'm pretty sure when they came out here, it was like last year. Like. Last year.
They've been doing this tour because I bought these tickets like a year and a half ago. Like I have had them in my wallet forever. But yeah, no. Finally, it comes to be this weekend where Pantera and Metallica on Friday night, Five Finger Death Punch and Metallica on Sunday.
Yep, I just looked it up. Yeah,
different set list. Yeah, same. It's basically been those two that have been traveling with them on this tour. Like they've gone to Europe, they've come back, they've gone everywhere. Going to Gillette, it's I'm staying at a hotel, so I may watch it because Saturday obviously there's nothing going on. Yeah. So maybe I'll bring my laptop. Maybe if the Wi-Fi doesn't shit, stream it. But it's not a priority for me this week.
Right. I don't blame you. I don't blame you whatsoever, and hope you have fun. So anyway. We're still going to talk about it. So,
what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, we already know the answer to that question, Cody. Cody's got one of those matches. We're going to talk about that too. So, this card is 7 singles matches. There's some people up in arms because Johnny Gargano doesn't have a match in the football stadium in Cleveland. I'm sorry. He'll probably still appear in some shape or form. It'll be fine. He's wrestling on SmackDown.
Ciampa's going to try to RKO.
Right. So
I've watched that. I've kept up with that story.
Yeah, it's a good story. So anyway, let's talk about the matches a little bit. It's basically all the singles titles that are on the line, plus CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre with Seth Rollins as a special guest referee. So let's start with the lower level singles championships. LA Knight, Patrick O'Dowd, will challenge Logan Paul for the United States Heavyweight Championship in a feud that they seemingly started building before Money in the Bank 2023. Now a year and a month later, finally comes to fruition at SummerSlam. Who should win? Who will win?
I kind of feel like it's now or never for LA Knight, especially given, as you just joked, how much they've teased this out, and given how limited Logan Paul is in appearances as it is. You know, I don't care that Logan Paul has held the title for, 200 and some odd days and has defended it like 3 times.
Right, still more than the Young Bucks, yeah.
What?
Still more times than the Young Bucks have defended their tag titles.
Oh, so. Fair. But I do think it's time for LA Knight to get the win. I hope he does. I think he should. And so I'll pick LA Knight over Logan Paul.
Yeah, I'm with you. LA Knight should win. LA Knight will win. The other championship match on the lower level, Sami Zayn defends the Intercontinental Championship against Braun Breaker.
And Dragunov.
No, that's just what people wanted.
No. It's just a one-on-one. I'm reading this on CBS Sports. Well, Sammy survived Braun once. You said he would survive Braun, and you were right. I don't know. I still think it should be Braun, but I don't think it needs to be Braun. I'll pick him. Like, but I wouldn't be surprised if Sammy held on to the title still in there. Like, you know, we're not ready for that.
I don't think Sami Zayn should win this. This match shouldn't be happening, in my opinion, because Braun is not Intercontinental Champion. Not that he's not good enough to hold the Intercontinental title. It's not what he's been doing. He's a destroyer of all things right now, right? Like, that's
right.
He doesn't need a title. A title almost to
and
me.
And he lost pretty clean, right? Like, he didn't, like...
Yeah, he lost
his
pretty
clean. His first crack at Sami, it wasn't like there was something that...
No, it was a haluva kick and 1, 2, 3. Like, it was not... There was no screw job. Nothing bad happened. And I thought it should have been like a no contest back then. I don't think Sami should have beat him. I think Sami just should have retained because Breakker doesn't win the title. But now that they're going back to it again a second time, it's going to be Braun Breakker. Like, again, who should win is Braun Breakker because they're doing this match a second time, and who will win for me is Braun Breakker because they're doing the second match second time. It's not a matter of who should win. It's a matter of the fact this shouldn't even be a match. It should have been something else. But they're doing it again, and the second time in a row, they just feel like that's the direction it's going to go. So that's where we are. CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre for the first time with Seth freaking Rollins as your special guest referee. This is Punk's first one-on-one match on TV, not counting the couple house shows that he did before he was injured in the Royal Rumble. We all know about McIntyre. We all know about Rollins. So who should win? Who will win?
I feel like Drew McIntyre should win. I believe CM Punk will win.
I agree with you that Drew McIntyre should win. I don't know who will win. I'll pick one. But with Seth Rollins as the referee, that kind of like throws everything.
It makes me pause.
Yeah. And it's supposed to. Like, A, we got to get Rollins on the card. And B, he's been somewhat involved with both these guys and was probably going to be in the match had one of them not been able to wrestle, with Punk being cleared. And who knows what's actually going to happen. Like, this is your most sports entertainment-y. Well, maybe not. But this is a very sports entertainment-y match on the card. And everybody's saying that Rollins shouldn't be involved. These guys don't need Rollins or whatever. As if this is going to be their last match. Like, no. They have Bad Blood for a reason. There's probably going to be a Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood. It's in Atlanta, one of the buildings where they can hold the cell. Oh, they changed the cell now, so it can be anywhere. I think we'll get Punk and McIntyre in Hell in a Cell later. But Rollins, to me, is the wild card. And he kind of hates CM Punk more than he hates Drew McIntyre. So I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre and will win. I do think Drew McIntyre should win. It'll be interesting to see what actually happens. And so Bayley defends the WWE Women's Championship against the Queen of the Ring. That's why she has a title shot. Nia Jax, who will likely be accompanied by your Money in the Bank briefcase holder, Tiffany Stratton. Who should win? Who will win?
I honestly forgot Bayley was still holding a belt.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I keep hearing tangentially that Nia has gotten better. That people are impressed with some sort of improvement. When I say hearing, I mean I read it on the internet, so I don't trust it. I also don't... this is tough because I don't know the story very well. I would think it would be silly for Nia Jax to win the title and then be turned on by Stratton, but I also feel like they're going to have, for some reason, Stratton beat Nia Jax for the title instead of Bayley, unless it is one of those situations where Nia Jax takes Bayley to the limit, Bayley somehow wins it, and then Tiffany cashes in. So there you go, kids. There's all the different things to lay out. I don't know. I'm going to say that honestly, Tiffany Stratton should win, but Bayley will win and retain.
I've from what I've seen with my own two eyes, I do think Nia Jax has improved. I'm hope like they haven't even like the briefcase just got destroyed on SmackDown recently, so I think we're going to get a Tiffany blinged out briefcase soon. I think Tiffany will hold that briefcase longer. Nia was great in the Queen of the Ring. No one expected her, and then the next thing you know, she wins. I think Nia should win. I think she will win. Bayley's run, unfortunately, as champion. It's that story, right? her run as champion, like her story was winning the title, not holding the title.
Right.
And that's why, and they rushed all of her challengers. Like they went to the Naomi match way too quickly. She ran through others. Like it just was just like Jey Uso. Like Jey Uso got his shot at Damian Priest way too fast. Shouldn't have happened as quickly as it did. Because they had no plans after WrestleMania. Like they put so much into WrestleMania, so much of it being too obvious, and then we're there. So I think Bayley should win. Bayley will win. Flip it around. You've got a crazy feud going on in WWE. Rhea Ripley and her big return challenges Liv Morgan for the Women's World Championship. Of course, much of this feud has centered around Dominic Mysterio and all of the drama within the Judgment Day. But now here we are at SummerSlam. Rhea Ripley gets her shot to win the title she never lost against Liv Morgan.
I feel like Liv Morgan should win this match. And I do feel like Liv Morgan will win this match. The how, I'm not quite sure about. Does Ray turn on Rhea and turn his back on the Judgment Day? It's a possibility. I also just think Liv's been too damn good with the character that she's been playing with this whole thing. And her little, I did see the clip, the like minute and a half clip of her little psycho turn.
Mm-hmm.
So let her have her psycho turn. Let her retain the title. Please, WWE, don't let Liv Morgan lose. I want her to stay crazy and holding the belt. I want Rhea to chase it a little bit longer. I want that. I kind of one of those, like, you know, you talk about too soons. It feels too soon, especially because I feel like they were really cooking with gas with this Liv Morgan angle and story that they were telling. So I'm going with Liv Morgan.
And Liv Morgan is like a social media money machine right now. Like literally she's right. Printing money with everything that she's doing. Like this is her star. This is her time shining. I agree with you. I think the other shoe is finally going to drop with the Judgment Day, where they were showing Finn Balor coming out of the same vehicle as Liv Morgan, just at different times. Finn Balor's the one who swiped the hotel room key that Liv gave to Dominic. Like, I think they've been laying, even so much as when Liv destroyed the Judgment Day's little club backstage on Raw, she didn't touch any of the Finn Balor stuff. Like, none of that stuff got destroyed. Like, all these little things that people think WWE are planning, maybe they are, maybe they're not. I think we're finally going to get some of the fractures in the Judgment Day, and that's going to cause, like, the true fractures, not just the apparent ones. And I think that's what's going to lead to some of this. I think this is the match where that plays out. So I do think that, and it'll stream throughout a couple matches on this show. So I do think that's going to cause Liv Morgan to retain as well. I don't think Dominic's going to turn. I think Dominic and Rhea are headed for babyface stardom. Because Dominic Mysterio, people boo the shit out of him. But I think people love to hate Dominic Mysterio. And Patrick O'Dowd, you know, if you love to hate a heel, that's a recipe for success as a babyface. And right. And the moment that, you know, Dominic's out there and chooses, you know, Rhea Ripley over the Judgment Day, who's turning, except for Damian Priest, I think people are going to fall in love with Dominic and Rhea being together. And I think that's what's going to happen. And they're going to be, like I said, headed for babyface stardom. So that's what I'm thinking. So who should win is Liv Morgan. Who will win, in my opinion, is Liv Morgan. That brings us to the two men's WWE Championship matches. Damian Priest, your world heavyweight champion, defends against the men's King of the Ring. I guess King of the Ring implies men. Winner, Gunther. And Gunther's first shot at a world championship in WWE. Who will win? Who should win? Who will win?
Well, you just kind of highlighted it. If the Judgment Day is falling apart, this could have something to do with this match as well as the one that we just discussed. I also, like, what do you do with Gunther if Gunther doesn't win this match? Like, to me, Gunther should win it, and I think Gunther will win it. And it is no slight on Damian Priest, in my opinion, because I really have enjoyed the way he's played his role as champion, where part of the splintering amongst the Judgment Day is him trying to prove, not just to like himself, but like to the audience. Like, it was very much this, no, I'm going to do this without anybody else. I'm going to show you all that I am championship material. And I actually appreciated that way of, you know, fracturing the Judgment Day a little bit. But I do, I just, Gunther, you know, you talk about like monsters. Gunther is one of those. And I don't know what Gunther does next if he doesn't win this match. So I think it's going to be Gunther. I think it should be Gunther. And I think that we're in for a new era here with the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, Triple H, to steal a line from the internet, Triple H got a hard-on for Gunther that we can't even imagine. And Gunther has done everything he can to earn that. And I mean in the ring, not the way you normally earn that. So I agree with you. No offense to Damian Priest. I think he's far exceeded what anybody expected out of this title run. And I think he'll be very busy with Finn Balor and the Judgment Day and that feud that he'll probably have after this. But I do think that Gunther's going to win. And yeah, you're right. Like, what do you do with Gunther if he loses? Like, I don't even know. Some people think Gunther, they're saving Gunther's win for the bash in Berlin because it's so close to Austria. But I think you have a triumphant champion in Gunther walking into bash in Berlin. I think you accomplish exactly what you need to accomplish there. So I think that's fine. But yeah, I think Gunther walks away with the World Heavyweight Championship, which brings us to the final match on the card. It's been deemed the main event by WWE on many forms of commentary. Cody Rhodes defends the undisputed WWE Championship against the man who calls himself the Tribal Chief, Solo Sikoa.
They keep trying to quote the great movie Mean Girls, they keep trying to make Fetch happen. And in this case, Solo Sikoa is Fetch. And I don't know, man. We talked about this a couple, like 3 weeks ago we had a show, or whenever we last had a show, we talked about Solo Sikoa and how we just, like, you don't feel it necessarily. I don't really feel it. But it seems like at some point Solo's going to get that title off of Cody. I don't think it should be at SummerSlam. That's me personally. And because I'm gonna go with the feels. I don't feel like Cody Rhodes should lose this match. I feel like Cody Rhodes should retain this title. So I'm gonna say he's gonna overcome the new bloodline. I don't think Roman Reigns is coming back this yet. Like, I don't think this is when he's making his appearance. It will be after Solo Sikoa is the champion. And I don't think that's here.
So here's been my opinion, and I might still try to get the article out before we get to SummerSlam, just because I felt this ever since they were leaning towards this match. Whether or not you think Fetch is a thing, and we're not going to make Fetch a thing, I look at it. Well, it depends. If they're really serious about Solo, And the only knock against Solo Sikoa right now in my mind is the presence of Jacob Fatu. Like, that's it. Like, Jacob Fatu is, to steal a line from Cody Rhodes, Jacob Fatu is undeniable. He's just so fucking over just by walking out. Like, everything he does screams pro wrestling at its core. And that's just what Jacob Fatu is. And I don't think they can avoid that in any way. But if you're serious about Cody Rhodes, and you're serious about, I'm not sorry, if you're serious about Solo Sikoa, and you really want to make Solo Sikoa a thing, he's got to win, in my opinion.
Right.
Otherwise, and don't give me this, well, Roman Reigns will come back and cost Solo Sikoa. That immediately pushes Solo Sikoa down a notch, if you do that to Solo Sikoa. And maybe that's down to the notch where he belongs. Probably where he belongs. But if you are serious as you can seriously be, and you're putting him in the main event of SummerSlam, you're putting Solo Sikoa in the main event of a football stadium show. Like, that right there says a lot. But if you put Solo Sikoa in the main event of football, in the main event of a football stadium, and he loses to Cody Rhodes, he's Chris Jericho losing to Triple H at WrestleMania 18. To go back to what we were talking about earlier, like, it's just like, yep, and Solo, his first loss ever in WWE on the main roster was to Cody Rhodes when he came out there. Like, Solo needs this more than he needed to beat Chris Jericho last year at Night of Champions or whatever event it was in Saudi Arabia. I can't remember the name of it now. It doesn't matter. Solo would need this win if they really want to make Solo a thing. So I'm going to say Solo should win. And I'm going to say, fuck, I don't know if I can say Solo will win. Because just Triple H has got his things. So I'm going to say Solo should win. Cody will win. Here's the thing. We are getting towards the Bloodline Civil War. It's going to happen. Roman Reigns will come back. First of all, if I held the book, Solo wins, Cody wins the title back, first SmackDown on USA. Like, that's what I would do. It's not what they're going to do, but that's what I would do. Again, I also said what they should do at Money in the Bank, and they did everything that I said they should do, but it is what it is. Except Sami Zayn beating Braun Breaker. They shouldn't have done that. But, so, DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, are defending the SmackDown tag titles against Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu on SmackDown on Friday night in Cleveland, right? The women's tag titles are also
RIP DIY.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Remember when Lance Storm ended up being the first, fire the first shot in the WCW versus WWF feud? Randomly shows up on Raw, hits a super kick, costs somebody a match or whatever, and then we're off to the races. I think Jimmy Uso is going to fire the first shot. Because Solo took Jimmy out. So I think Jimmy costs the Bloodline the tag titles on SmackDown. Now, here's where it gets dicey to me. If you're not going to have Solo win, I think you've got to use the match of Solo and Cody to advance the Bloodline storylines. Sorry, Cody, for playing second fiddle. It would make a whole hell of a lot of sense if it were Jey Uso who costs Solo in this match. But that's not Jay's character. Jay has wanted nothing to do with it. That's why he left SmackDown to begin with. It was because he wanted nothing to do with all the Bloodline issues that were going on. So if Roman Reigns does come back, and the motivation's there, he tore apart the family. He took out Paul Heyman. He took out the Wise Man. Like Roman coming back makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. I think Roman comes back at SummerSlam. I think he causes Solo to lose, and then we're off to the races with the Bloodline issue. And I think the story for Jay is going to be Roman and Jimmy and eventually Heyman trying to get Jay back in. And they finally do as we approach to War Games. Like, that to me is going to be the story where Roman and Jay and Jimmy try to get Jay back in. And who's the last, you know, who evens out the teams? Is it this other Tongan they've signed who everybody says stinks? Is it Sami Zayn getting back involved? Is it Brock because of the whole Paul Heyman thing? Who knows? But could you imagine Brock and Roman on the same team? Like,
dude.
Could you imagine Brock and Jacob Fatu? Oh, my God. Like, it just writes itself. Like, that's a WrestleMania 41 match right there. So I'm going to say that Solo should win and Cody will win. And I do think we'll kick off that Bloodline storyline as things get going. It's going to be very interesting because I do think you got to keep Roman and Cody separate just to benefit the TV shows. Cause those are your two biggest stars. No offense to everybody else. And so you got to put, with Raw going to Netflix, all bets are off. SmackDown on USA. Like, I don't think we're waiting until the next draft before we make any changes. I think there'll be some changes that take place. So there you have it. There are our picks for this weekend's upcoming SummerSlam event.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
So I got into one of my typical arguments online. Not typical these days, but they pop up. It was in our Facebook group. And it was over Johnny Gargano. And I love Johnny Gargano. I often said that Johnny Gargano had all the potential in the world to be the next Daniel Bryan Danielson, but they already had Daniel Bryan Danielson at the time. Obviously, they don't have him now, and it seems like he's about to retire anyway. But there's this small rumbling online about Johnny Gargano not having a spot on the SummerSlam card, being that it's in Cleveland, and he's fucking Johnny Cleveland. Like that's the thing. The Miz got his spot. He's hosting the show. Logan Paul is on the show. He's Cleveland. And the argument came from somebody who's a Clevelander, and was basically saying, like, the city is oftentimes part of the show. And the city wants to see Johnny Gargano in there. And I don't know if 56,000 people in a football stadium all want to see Johnny Gargano in a match. Yeah. But the hardcore wrestling fandom in Cleveland absolutely wants to see Johnny Gargano in the show. And I would love for Johnny Gargano to have that moment and to have 56,000 people chanting Johnny Wrestling. It would start with 3,000 or 4,000 people chanting Johnny Wrestling, but it would grow. And it would be the whole stadium chanting Johnny Wrestling by the end of this guy's match. And that would be great. But is it this major catastrophe and crime against nature that Johnny Gargano is not on the SummerSlam card?
I'm incensed. Can't you hear it?
I can tell how pissed off you really are.
I'm thoroughly angry over this. No, I mean, sure. I'm sure Johnny would love to.
He said it himself.
Yeah. But he also gets it. Like, it's just not like we're. I don't know. There's no reason, unless you were going to shoehorn that tag team title match on SmackDown and put it on.
Right. Which a lot of people think. They're like, why can't you just add another match and make it 8 matches? And I'm like, have you watched a WWE pay-per-view?
Or put it on the 3-hour pre-show?
Yeah, 3-hour pre-show. It's 3 hours. No, you're right. It's 3 hours this time. It's 4 to 7 Eastern
time. Get the fuck out of town.
The pre-show is, yeah, but it's the pre-show. Anyone complaining about the pre-show doesn't, it's like complaining about people posting spoilers online. Like, just don't fucking look at them. Like, I'm sorry.
Somebody made a good point. I don't remember who it was, but the pre-show is not, it really isn't designed. It's designed for me, actually. You know why?
Because you haven't watched it.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you haven't been watching Raw. Welcome back. Check this out. And here's why we're having this match, and here's what this is. Like, again, I don't know if I need it for 3 hours. Like, that's a lot.
A three-hour pre-show with no matches? Like, right. At least no announced matches. Maybe they'll shock us and actually cart some matches out there, just unannounced, like a random episode of Raw.
I would love if they did a setup, kind of if the first 2 hours were pre-show, which is still a really long time to do, like, just talking, and then have matches towards the back half of that.
Or even do your first 2 hours of the pre-show outside of the stadium and set up a fucking ring and have some matches out there for the people who are because again, you're going to talk about 7 matches for 3 hours. Like, that does sound kind of crazy to me, just to be fully transparent. Like, that does sound kind of nuts. I don't know how to feel about that, but 7 matches for 3 hours is bad shit crazy. In my opinion, talking about 7 matches. And the way that some WWE pay-per-views end at less than 3 hours, the pre-show might be longer than the PLE. I don't think it will be. I think the PLE will exceed 3 hours, but it could be. It could be. But here's the complaint about, just add another match. Like, this is a WWE show in a stadium. Even though Randy Orton's not wrestling. And by the way, Randy Orton, Jey Uso, these are much bigger names not on the card than Johnny Gargano. And I love Johnny Gargano.
And it's SummerSlam.
It's SummerSlam, yeah. Now, will they get involved in the Bloodline story with Cody? Maybe. Who knows? And now, because of the title match, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa are linked to that, too. So who the hell knows? And they got attacked by the Bloodline the week before. So it's all there if they really want to do it. Entrances take longer in a stadium show. You've got a video package that they play for every single match except for the opener in a stadium show. Like,
is there a musical guest?
Jelly Roll is performing at SummerSlam. Yeah. Like, The Miz is going to have a segment in the ring probably because he's the host. It's again, they're not just 7 matches. You've got basically 9 matches with a Jelly Roll performance and a Miz in ring segment. Right? So that right there is 9. So now if we tack on a tag title match, that's 10. And then we're cutting matches short. Right? Then Bayley and Nia Jax didn't get enough time because Jelly Roll had to perform. But really it was because we shoehorned in the tag team match. But no one's going to blame that because they love the tag team match. But that's what would happen. So no, I agree with you. It's not a big catastrophe that Johnny Gargano's not on the card. Would I have loved to see it? Sure. Do I think if they play their cards right, Johnny Gargano could have a WrestleMania Daniel Bryan-like moment? I absolutely do. Will they? Probably not. But should they? Maybe. But it's they could. It's there for them if they want to. But lots of things are there for them if they want to. It's WWE, right? They could have made Cesaro world champion if they wanted to, and it would have gone over. They chose not to. It's all good. Now Cesaro's doing fuck all in AEW, so it's great.
I might get to see him. Because he's doing fuck all in AEW.
Because you're going to Collision, where all the fuck all people go. So yeah, you might get to see him. And the taping of Rampage that'll air more than a week later. or seven, 6 days later. Yeah, you very well might see him. So that'll be good. You'll enjoy it. And you will enjoy it, and I'm excited about it. But
I'm excited for it.
And it's good to experience live. Any wrestling, in my opinion, is better live than it is on television.
Yeah, that I think has been the, like, so our good friend Dave Ungar, he was like, you bought tickets to see AEW? And I was like, it's like 10 minutes from my house. Like, I really couldn't think of a reason not to go.
No, like, there is no reason for you
like
not to go.
Like, it's close by. My buddy Matt's going to come along with me. He's gone with me to a few wrestling shows. He gets into it no matter what. He's going to dive all in. We'll probably go park at the MGM in Springfield where we'll grab our dinner, maybe a drink, head over to the Masters.
It's a whole experience.
Right next door and just watch some wrestling.
Ain't nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
And we won't need to know what's going on.
No.
I don't care. Who cares? I'm still going to be able to be like, oh, that's Deonna Purrazza. That's this person. You know, that's Claudio Castagnoli.
Right.
And so on and so forth.
It'll be great. And Collision, look, not as important as Dynamite, but Collision isn't always live. And the Collision that you're seeing is live. So I think that will help. And you get to go on a Saturday versus a Wednesday. So it'll be good.
Right. And is it like a go-home show, or is it like
it's the last Collision before the following Wednesday, which is Dynamite Grand Slam, which is basically a pay-per-view on television with Dynamite in the Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York. So, yeah, it's technically a go-home show, but the Dynamite, the Wednesday before yours, is probably more important. Collision being live, I think it enhances the show that you're going to. Being the live Collision, the last live show before Dynamite Grand Slam, I think helps. You'll get some big things that set things up.
Even if it's just a couple faces doing a prologue, I don't care.
Yeah, you'll see that. You'll definitely see that. You'll probably be making fun of me because you finally got. And I'll probably watch that episode of Collision because you're there, and I'll cry myself to sleep that night if that happens. But
yeah, I'll let you know where I'm seated.
I'll look for you. I'll look for you on television. Bring a sign. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show. He is Patrick O'Dowd. Follow him at Wrestling and Realist. It's WRESTLNGREALIST. Follow me at Greg DeMarco 404. Follow the website at ChairShot Media because it's thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You just made the list.
To Chris Jericho, sorry, not sorry. Things just are the way they are.
He's
not just a guy, but he's definitely not the man either. So and that's just the way it is. Until next time, remember to always use your head. Enjoy SummerSlam, people. It's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be complaining about who's not on the card. It's just supposed to be a lot of fun to watch. There'll be some surprises, I'm sure. It's WWE. Maybe we get Roman Reigns. Maybe we don't. Who knows? But it's going to be a good time had by all.
Awesome!
I came to
the...
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart and baby...
Acknowledge me!
You just made the list!
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.